Throughout the New Testament, Jesus is transitioning his followers from the old covenant, which is based on law and justice, to the new covenant that he was ushering in, which is based on grace and mercy. And this is true when it comes to thinking about forgiveness and how we forgive others. Peter asked Jesus, "How many times should I forgive my brother?" Up to 7 times. I think he was probably feeling quite pleased with himself. He was probably feeling quite clever that he got a good answer. And Jesus replies, not 7 times, but 77 times. In other words, don't keep count. Keep going. And then he tells this story, a parable, which starts, "The kingdom of heaven is like." In other words, this is a characteristic of what it is to be part of my kingdom. What it is to be doing the stuff of the kingdom. When the kingdom comes into your life, this is part of what it's going to look like. And the story of the parable is about a servant who owes a king a lot of money. The servant begs for mercy and asks the king to be patient. The king, we read, takes pity on him and cancels his debt. And as the story moves on, we learn that another servant owes a smaller amount of money to the original servant. This other servant does the same and begs for mercy from the original servant. However, the original servant refuses and gets his fellow servant locked in prison. But when the king hears about that, he is more than angry. He rescinds his cancelling of the original servant's huge debt, and he has the original servant thrown into prison. Actually, more than that, it says he is turned over to the jailers to be tortured. And at the end of the story, Jesus sums up its teaching, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Which is quite a stark warning. Surely God is about grace and mercy and love, not handing us over to the jailers to be tortured. We'll address that at the end. First things first. The original servant owes the king a huge sum of money. It's 10,000 talents. In today's money, it's like £1 million. The point is, it's unpayable. And the king ordered that he and his family all be sold to repay the debt. In other words, the king offered him justice. If you have a debt, it needs to be paid. That's justice. After begging for mercy, the king cancels the debt and lets him go. The servant was now in a place of mercy. It was a good place for the servant to be. 36 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I was born again into a new way of life, a life of grace and mercy. I experienced his forgiveness. My sins, I wasn't dealt with as my sins deserved. I experienced his kindness, his goodness. I didn't get justice, I received mercy. I didn't contribute anything towards it. It was all grace. It was a free gift. And all I can do, all we can do, is receive his offer of grace and mercy and learn to love him back. But when we received the forgiveness of God, we stepped into a place of grace, that place of undeserved mercy. And I say it's a good place to be. It's a place of life. I couldn't imagine not living in this place now. It's a place whereby we have God's favor, his protection over our lives. It's a place of intimacy with the Father as we get to experience his love for us. So this original servant received forgiveness and was in that place of mercy and grace. But then he refused to cancel the much smaller debt, take note, of his fellow servant, demanding he be paid. And when he did that, he was stepping out of a place of grace into a place of justice, of wanting justice. He'd received grace, but he wanted justice for his fellow servant. And look what happened to him. He received justice for his own sin. His original sentence was restored. If we do not offer forgiveness to others, and I'm assuming I'm speaking to those of us here this morning who are born again, who are in that place of grace. If we do not offer to forgiveness to others, then we step out of this place of grace into a lower place of justice. Now, justice is okay, isn't it? Justice in many ways is good. Our country is based on law and order and justice. We have a need for justice. It was what the Old Testament was based on, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. Illustration. Suppose I upset Danny, something I said, and Danny comes up and punches me in the mouth and knocks my tooth out. I could step back into this place of justice and go and knock his tooth out. Because that's justice. Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. So at the justice level, you get what you deserve. Actually, he's a bigger guy than me, so I probably wouldn't do that. It's not that justice is unimportant. You know, the fairness of God demands justice. Justice is good, but it's not really enough. In the end, all you get with justice is more punishment and lots of limbs and teeth missing. In this new covenant that Jesus was ushering in, justice has been fully satisfied by the cross. In terms of my relationship with the Father, Jesus has satisfied all the demands for justice. When he laid his life down for me and for you. So when I gave my life to Christ 36 years ago, it just wasn't that my sins didn't get what they deserved, it's just that someone else paid the price for them. The requirement for justice was satisfied on the cross by Jesus. He took my place. So again, what's happening to me, in that, I know it's a bit of a silly illustration, of me being punched. If I myself demand justice, then I'm stepping out of this place of grace down to a lower place of justice. It was the better thing to do is to stay in this place of grace and mercy. Because it's a higher place. It's a life of blessing. It's a place of life. So the right reaction to having my tooth knocked out would be to keep in this place of grace and, Lord, I don't hold anything against Danny. I'm trusting you to replace my loss 100-fold. I'm saying I'm choosing to do it the kingdom way. So choosing to stay in this place of grace is what the Lord is calling us to by offering forgiveness. You know, offering forgiveness to someone who has hurt us is an act of will. We have to choose to do it. Why do we find it so difficult? And I don't want to pretend it's easy. Some things are easy to forgive, aren't they? Some things, frankly, aren't. Some things go quite deep and are not easy to forgive. So I don't want to pretend it's easy. C.S. Lewis says, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Why do we find it so difficult? I used to work for BT. I worked for them for 10 years, and as many big corporations do, they send you away on team building weeks or weekends. And I remember going to the Peak District to do some caving and raft building, and one of the things we did was abseiling. I don't know if you've ever done abseiling. It's the most ridiculous pursuit I can think of. Because you stand at the top of a cliff with your back to the drop. And everything inside of you is saying, like, what are you doing? You know, you have this fear, don't you? you're standing, you're going to die. What are you doing? And then if it doesn't get, it doesn't get any better, because then the instructor says, now step back. And everything inside of you is saying, no, why would I do that? And you have to get over this internal barrier of your fear to do it. And then once you get over that, it's quite good fun, actually, isn't it? Sort of skipping down the side of a mountain. I think it's similar when it comes to forgiveness. There's an internal barrier to get over. Not maybe of fear, but of something else. I think there's two main reasons we don't decide to forgive someone. Firstly, we don't want to give up our right for justice. So-and-so has really hurt me, and they must pay. Justice is fair. And so we have this inbuilt natural sense for justice. I think that's one barrier we have to get over. We have to give up our right for justice. And it's not fair in a sense, but it's mercy. The other reason maybe that we don't forgive is that we don't want to face the hurt. One of the dangers about talking about forgiving other people is that you can feel the need to drag up old wounds that have been forgiven. And I really don't want to do that. That's not what I'm trying to do. But in my experience, some of us will have papered over past hurts and unforgiveness, and we've become deadened to it. See, one way to cope with hurt is to put up a protection barrier around our hearts. It's natural, really. We don't want to be hurt again, do we? My testimony, and I won't go through it all, is that for much of my adult life, if someone asked me, describe yourself on an emotional level, I would say I go through life like this. Not experienced many highs, but not experiencing many lows. Louise is kind of that sort of thing. And it's because I'd shut down my emotions as a protection mechanism. The problem is we can't be selective with our hearts. If we shut down our hearts to stop us from being hurt again, ultimately we shut down our hearts to love. And it impairs our relationship with those we love or want to love most. And it certainly impairs our relationship with Father God. In the end, the way to heal a hurt is to offer forgiveness. Time won't do it. We have to give up our right for justice, and we have to be prepared to face the hurt caused, which can be painful. I think as we continue to walk with the Lord, He will open our eyes and our hearts to see where we need to forgive others. And where there's been a lot of hurt, the Lord will do that gently, actually. But in the end, we have to decide to step over or get over that eternal barrier and choose to forgive or not. And maybe we have to experience the hurt in order to receive the healing. Back to this parable that Jesus told. The original servant stepped back into a place of justice. He received justice for his own sin. More than that, he was handed over to the jailers to be tortured. I don't know about you, that's not a great image. What does that mean? See, the Christian worldview is that Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Though he's defeated on the cross, he and his demons are still active in the world. I believe when Jesus has been handed over to the jailers to be tortured, that represents the demonic world. They are our enemy. So what happens when we choose to want justice, when we choose not to forgive, we give the enemy a legal right to mess with our lives. As we move out of this place of grace into a place of justice, we start to get what we deserve. You know, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. He comes to kill, destroy, and steal in our lives. None of that is good. So if we've chosen justice, then we've placed ourselves in a place where the enemy can mess with us. He can spoil and hamper our walk with God. In Ephesians 4:27, it says, "Do not give the devil a foothold." And later on in that chapter, it goes on to say, "Get rid of all bitterness and other things, forgiving one another." If we're choosing not to forgive someone, then we're harboring bitterness in our hearts, and we give the enemy a foothold, a place in our life to mess with us. In the place of justice, we receive justice. Our own sin finds us out. And in my experience, I've come across too many Christians who want grace for themselves, but they want justice for others. And when it comes to sin, it depends on whether you're the perpetrator or the victim. It's not so bad if you're the perpetrator. So your tooth was knocked out. You got lots of other teeth. If you're the victim, do you know how much that hurt me? God is saying, let's wipe the slate clean. Come up to this place of grace where you'll find restoration, healing, and he will make it up to you in some way. But we have to either choose grace or justice. We can't have both going on. We can't have grace for ourselves and want justice for others. We either keep in this place of grace, the new covenant, or we step out into that place of justice, which is the old covenant. You will know if there are people that you need to forgive. Often the prime area of forgiveness is amongst those we have close relationship with, our family, our church family. Maybe in some other area of life that you know you need to forgive someone. This morning it might be quite a deep thing, and you may need more time to really pray that through with the Lord, and that is fine. But don't use it as an excuse to bury it. The issue of forgiveness is far too important. In the end, our Heavenly Father wants us to choose life. I'll finish with this story. You may have heard it from Corrie ten Boom. She's a Dutch lady who'd been caught sheltering Jews in a home during the war. And she and a friend were sent to a concentration camp where a friend died. Shortly after the war, she was speaking in the church about forgiveness. And she was at the door as people were filing past. And this man came up to her and she recognized as one of the guards in the concentration camp. And he offered his hand out and asked her to forgive him. She said it was the most difficult thing she'd ever had to do. And in the end, all she could do was lift her hand. And once she did that, the feelings of forgiveness came. Shall we pray? Why don't we have a little time just to spend in the quiet and ask the Lord, Lord, is there someone in my life? Maybe it's been highlighted as we've been going along, that I've got a conviction about, that I know I need to forgive. And again, I don't want to try and drag up old things that have been dealt with. But maybe there's someone this morning, you know that the Lord is saying to you, you need to forgive them. I remember hearing a talk by R.T. Kendall about forgiveness, and he said, there is a way you know you've forgiven someone. And he uses the story of Joseph and his brothers. And he said, Joseph wanted blessing for his brothers. It's a sign that we've forgiven someone. We want blessing for them. So we may be saying, oh, I've forgiven that person, but I hope they rot in. Yeah. Maybe you haven't. So just ask the Lord, Lord, is there anyone I need to forgive? Then choose to forgive them. It's a decision to make. We don't have to feel like it. And you know, when we pray to forgive someone, don't pray, Lord, help me forgive someone. You've got to choose to forgive them. So pray, Lord, I choose to forgive so-and-so, and name them quietly in your heart for the hurt they've caused me, and mention specifically the hurt. As I say, sometimes God will allow us to experience the pain to be felt. And pray, Lord, I choose to rip up the IOU. I'm saying they don't owe me anything anymore. I choose to stay in this place of grace and mercy. Amen.